The Kodesh is just to go back and look in the first place in Chumash where what you're looking for exists. The first invention in Chumash, in the Torah, in the world was what? No, long before that. It was clothes.
Ah.
It was the first thing that humans needed to invent and create was clothes. Why? Because there was a spiritual yirida that those clothes needed to take care of. Before the chet, there was no busha, so you didn't need clothes. Now that there was a chet, there's busha, you need levush. The thing of clothes is levush, is against busha. There were clothes of four. So the Torah is telling you that every physical invention, every technological advancement, what we're talking about, comes about as a result of a spiritual lack. There wasn't a thing called busha in the world. Now there's a thing called busha in the world, you need levush. That's the yisod, that's the klal. Now you have to apply that klal out to all the different things. So Mordechai Miller said the trains were invented because of Bittul Torah. The Torah went and demanded trains be invented. Trains always existed, by the way. They were always there in potential. It's the question of whether the Chokhmah is going to be revealed to Adam in order for him to bring him to the world. The internet's not a new invention. It was always there. Kodesh Baruch Hu always had it buried into the Bria. All these new inventions are new for us. Humans are being exposed. The Industrial Revolution, let's say, from then onwards. Why were trains put into the world? Because there was so much Bittul Torah with people traveling on horses and carts and da-da-da-da-da that the Torah itself demanded. Why was the printing press invented? Because people couldn't remember their Torah anymore. People couldn't remember anymore. The great Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Chil, when the Balek Tosfos, when they burnt the Sforim in France, he carried on teaching because he knew the Torah of Alpeh. But the Talmidim couldn't anymore. The Talmidim couldn't anymore. They closed the Yeshiva. So you need a printing press. Those are easy to see, right? The Kodesh can't remember, and it's very hard to write hand script, you know, manuscripts of all the Torah we need. So you need a printing press. We have a printing press. Fine. You know, there's a thing called busha in the world because Adam did the chet, and now there's busha, now they need clothes, so there's clothes. Today it's very hard to see this, very hard to see this. But in Achinami, the technology is parav, like everything else in the world is parav. Everything in the world is parav. There's nothing intrinsically evil or good. This is good or bad. It's nothing. It's completely parav. What you use it for will determine whether it was used correctly or not.
All has its potential.
I don't know about potential or not potential. I'm saying everything is in the world is intrinsically not evil or not good. It's intrinsically parav. It can be used for anything. You can use opium poppies for making morphine and for saving lives and for helping people. And you can destroy millions of lives with it. You know, the same as an atom bomb. You can use it for enormous good. You can use it for enormous evil. The thing itself is always parav. The same as the technology. The internet on the one hand is people are learning Torah that were never learning Torah before. People are coming from it, whatever. I mean, it's destroying millions of lives. I mean, that's how we utilize it. But finding the chesaron that it's coming to fill, etc., etc., these are hard things to see and hard to know how to use them. Very hard. The Mishkan came as a result of the Chet HaEgel. It wouldn't be for the Chet HaEgel, we wouldn't need the Mishkan. The Mishkan came to fill a spiritual hole that had been created by the Chet HaEgel. All of you go through the whole of Jewish history, you'll see that every technological invention came about as a result of Klal Yisrael's spiritual yirida that needed this, and they go hand in hand, they go together. That's the how we use them and how we mechanech children. Excellent question. How that fits into the Mahalach of Atav Chatanim Mikol Amim? I can hear Rav Taub in the back of my head saying to me, "That's all very nice. So, what would you use a gas chamber positively for?" Because that's how he defines the internet. How would you use? So I know what I would use it. I know what I would use it for. Oh, I would use it to kill all the Germans, but. But Hashem's going to take care of them. Some things are less. A gas chamber itself is not intrinsically evil. It just sits there and does nothing. It's when you put a Jew in there and you put gas in and you switch it on, that's when it becomes evil. The thing itself is not intrinsically. Charlie's worried you see in the Kuda toy for them. Rabbi Avigdor Miller said that the lamppost in New York had a very positive purpose for hanging all of the shame. And Ms. Yain describing what it should look like, what the streets of New York should look like, with all the Rishayim dangling by the rope. So you walk past and you pull the rope and you dangle him up and down until he dies. And that's what Rishonim is supposed to do with Rishonim. We live in a very democratic society and we're all politically correct and all sweet enough. So we let the murderers run around and have a good time and we put them in jails which are 5-star hotels and we give them degrees and whatever and then they come in and kill more people. That's the society we live in. We've lost sense of all proportion. Anyway, whatever. That's not a subject. We've got to give it over to Hashem. Fine. But this is a very important subject, you've got to understand. We live in a world with these kind of technological advances, we have to see it through Torah eyes. And yes, some things, even though they're parav, the dangers are so great that you're best left alone for somebody that has got more muscle to deal with it. But we're not objective, so we can't really make the decisions. We have enormous negias when it comes to all these kind of things. Very, very vestedly interested in the sugya. I mean, when the first kosher phones came out, I just started using SMS. I'm a little bit behind the times. I just started using SMS as it was like a Valdika thing. It was marvelous. I'm telling you, I loved every minute of it. And as I started getting into it, so they came out the kosher phones, and that was it. So I had to give up SMS, but it was not a simple thing to do. And I felt myself arguing the case for SMS because you have an idea, you have a vested interest. You want it, it's convenient, it's comfortable, it's nice, whatever. So, choices are a little bit more common today. Okay. So we said like this. The three main Nisoinis, which are parallel to the three Amurim on which the Torah, the world exists. Torah, Avodah, Milas Chasadim. Yitzchak was Avodah, Yaakov was Torah, Shkoko. I don't have. Forgot it. Yeah, that's fine, that's fine. Half a shit, sure. And the Nisoyin today is Avram Avinu, which is the Nisoyin of Chesed. And who do we do Chesed with? Kosh Baruch Hu. And we have to recognize how much a Kosh Baruch Hu needs us Kaviyoch. In order to understand how important we are and how the entire Bria rests on our shoulders.
Did you say we do chesed with Hashem?
I never said that. I just read what's written here and what this entire book is all about. That was the whole foundation of this entire Sefer. Is that what Avram Avinu was megalit to the world that no one else had found out until Avram Avinu came along? That you do chesed in boy. The Chumash says it. It goes further, it says, Humafarnes is koino. He gave panosa to Hashem. That's Torah. That's Torah Shabbat itself. It's not Torah Shabbat Kor. It's chesed in boir, yeah. And we explained what that means. We explained that what means through the entire Sefer. We need a summary quickly before we get into this. How do you do chesed for Hashem?
I was wondering when we daven the Amidah, it says Chasdei Avos. I was wondering if it's which way it is, and it's the Avos doing it for Hashem.
Nachon, nachon. How are you mis chesed in koinoi? How do you do chesed for Hashem? It's heretical to say such a thing, right? Was it heretical to say such a thing? Was it heretical to say such a thing?
He doesn't need our chesed.
Because to say that Hashem means he has a lack. That Hashem has a lack is nonsense. He's infinite. He is everything.
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily. Yeah. 100% necessarily.
The chesed for Hashem is not for Hashem, really. It's for us.
Right? We'll see. But then it's not for him. So
but
what does it mean? So the Torah lies. It's not really for him. It's for me. So then it's not for him. So I'm doing it for me. I mean, it says we do chesed for Hashem. You have to understand what that means. You're right. You're right, though. But it needs a bit of
fine-tuning. Would you mind if you did something that made me happy?
Yes, yes, of course. I can't make Hashem happy. If I could make Hashem happy, it means he would be lacking that thing that I did in order to make him happy. Hashem created happiness. He's the ultimate definition of happiness. I can't. He's infinite. He's not lacking anything. So how can I do chesed for Hashem? The law you're talking. So what did we say pshat was? This is based on many makoires. Why did Hashem create the world?
Do chesed to us, and we enable him to do that chesed.
In order to do chesed, it's the nature of good to give, and the Kosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate essence of goodness. If he wants to give, from is he going to want to give to? You've got to have something to give to. You can't give to yourself. He is everything. So he creates us. How he does it and how we're separate from him or whatever, I'm not going into those. The big sugyas in Kabbalah, how you can have such a thing that we actually exist in the face of an infinite oneness, whatever fundamental sugyas in the Tzimtzum, you have to learn and you have to understand that, but that's not our subject now. The fact is that we see that he did it. He created us. And we are the recipients of his good. Now, what's the ultimate good? If Hashem's going to give us good, he's going to give us the best good, right? He's not going to give you second class good, he's going to give you first class. So what's first class good? What's the greatest thing that I could ever give you? If I wanted to buy you a present, if I could get you anything in the world, what would you want?
Take Amazon, I don't know.
You don't know?
Simcha.
I mean,
Simcha. You don't know. Amazon. Yeah, no, anybody else here want to?
I take another 100 questions.
No, I can see how terrifying it is. I can see how terrifying the situation here is.
Chochma.
None of you are nowhere near. Where have you been for the last 6 months? I'm shocked. I'm horrified. I wasn't going to do that. I thought you guys know this. This is bullshit. No?
The opportunity to get back.
The opportunity to go back. No! None of this.
It goes back to what you were talking about with the things that are hard.
No.
To have relationship with Akadosh Baruch Hu.
What?
To have a good relationship with Akadosh Baruch Hu.
Oh, give me Hashem! I want the ultimate! The ultimate is Hashem himself! I want to be dovok to Hashem! Is there anything better than that?
That's what I meant when I said get back. Get back to Hashem.
That's what simple is.
Whatever that means, we'll deal with. But let's just accept the fact that the ultimate good you could ever have, the ultimate gift anybody could ever give you, is Hashem, because that is everything. If you have Hashem, you don't need Mashiach, you don't need Briyut, you don't need Betochen, you don't need security, you don't need anything. You've got everything. He is everything. That's Hashem. I want to be with Hashem. I want to be with Matatya. I want to be with the thing that I love more than anything else in the world, and who loves me more than anything else in the world. I want to have a deep, binding love relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the best. So that's what he wants to give us.
Why didn't Shlomo ask for that?
He asked for that. Make it out like this, just something like it just stands half.
He's already a good person.
Not to the end of his life. What was your question?
That makes it sound like it's something that could stand happen without doing it.
Oh! That's the problem. Hashem could just give himself to us. What's the problem with that?
We have to give ourselves to him.
Why?
Because
earn it.
Why? Because if you don't earn it, then it has what's called bread of shame. When you get something for nothing, it's not the ultimate good. It's lacking something because you never earned it.
I take it.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, designed a world and a system. Yeah? In which, in order for him to give you the ultimate good, in order for him to give you what he really wants to give you, you have to earn it. Right? You can choose not to earn it. Right? You can choose to earn it, you can choose not to earn it. When you choose to earn it, what are you doing? You're giving Hashem the opportunity to give to you. And if you don't, he can't give to you. Or he won't give to you. So therefore, when you do what Hashem wants you to do, what he told you to do, you're being mischassed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're allowing him to fulfill the purpose of why he created the world. which is ultimately him giving to you, okay, not you giving to him. In other words, you're giving to him in order that he should give to you. It's a giving that's actually a taking, and his taking is actually a giving.
So we have to give Hashem this opportunity.
We have to give Hashem opportunity to give to me. It feels a bit strange, yeah, because it's news to us.
You can't feel a cleat that's closed. To give to Hashem is opening a cleat. So Hashem
doesn't. No, that's not what it's about. It's about creating an artificial environment in which I can give something to somebody that I can't give anything to. Because that's what he wants, and therefore he created the misgeret like that. And Avraham Avinu discovered this deep secret of the world. Sha'ilam chesed yibone. Who's chesed? Ma chesed? That's how I become shutif by my sabrashis. Otherwise, how do I become a shutif by my sabrashis? Because to close the circle of why the world was created, only I can close that circle. That means that I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm not doing a mitzvah anymore because it's the right thing or it's the wrong thing, or because I want the schar, it's because I'm giving to Hashem the opportunity to have a relationship with me. However ridiculous that sounds, we need to expand our consciousness a bit to be able to absorb this. Not so posh. But I thought that's what we've been doing here for the last 5 years. So it's very important to have this clear.
Can you say that again?
This is the Ramchal. Say what again?
We're not doing mitzvah because it's the right thing to do. We're doing the mitzvah because...
I'm giving to Hashem.
Giving to Hashem.
The opportunity to give me the reward for the mitzvah that I just did.
So it's not for any shame. You've earned it.
And I've earned it. That's the beginning of the sugya. Now there's a discussion.
It's the same way if you just give to your children something without them earning it.
It's with everything. It's with everything.
It's something we can relate to.
Once again, you're asking another question. The Chavos HaLavavah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us much more than we deserve. And the reward in Olam HaBa is much greater than we earn. So let's back to the kasha. What about bread of shame? Every time you want to give your kids something, you're going to have to make them earn it. It doesn't. That's not how it works in reality. So you have to understand how you do that practically. I will give you things for nothing, but they won't be as enjoyable sometimes as when you earned it. The thing called stocker in the world, we give people stocker. And the chinami, that's why no one wants to live with stocker because there's a local kach ta'im. A person would rather have one cup of his own labor than 9 cups that Hashem gave him. You grow your own potatoes, they taste much nicer than the ones that Hashem throws at you from the Makolet. Yes, of course. We've got to be focused on the subject we're learning now. And that's what we have to understand. That's why we're in the world in order to do chesed for Hashem. Obviously not because Nebuchadnezzar chesed. It's all for us ultimately. It's the giving that's really a taking, and it's the taking that's really a giving. We spoke about that many, many times. Well, ultimately, that's what it is. If you want to do some homework, go think about why Hashem couldn't have created a world without bread of shame, and then it would have solved all these problems. That's your homework. No. Avram Rishon had mitzvahs to do.
A different environment.
Adam Rishon had mitzvahs to do. He had to be shoyme v'oyved es agad. It wasn't a free ride. No. The problem of bread of shame starts even before Adam Rishon. Okay. Tafkideinu liyos k'Avram Avinu b'shayso. Our job is to be like Avram Avinu b'shayso. All we did today was Chazorah. There was nothing new here. Sound familiar? Okay. Anybody else heard this before? I'm starting to think I'm psychotic. Tafkideinu liyos k'Avram Avinu b'shayso. We can get the dilat here. I'll make you listen to all of them, and you'll see that this is not news. Old news, but it needs chazuk. Well, if you want to know what I just said here, it's based on the Ramchal says it's Mefurish in Das Tfunis. If you want to go have a look at it there and see it. It wasn't my Chiddush and it wasn't a Tavis Chiddush. Who the Ramchal based it on, I don't know, but I'm happy to quote the Ramchal. It's in good company. Who are you, Yochid, she is moided, mukola elam, lero love, or moided derech? Avram Avinu stood up against the entire world without a rebbe, without somebody to teach him the way. He discovered it for himself. He couldn't run off and get a brocha and go run here and ask shalas here and go there. But he had to stand up on his own 2 feet and work it out for himself. Avram Avinu hitrachek mi'ovda avodah zara b'yomov. Avram Avinu already distanced himself from the Baal Avodah Zorah before he even recognized Hashem. And he was ready to give up his life for it. He did give up his life for it. He got thrown into the Kibshanesh before he discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had he known HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Nisoyin of Kibshanesh, there wouldn't have been a Nisoyin. He was happy to give up his life. He was fighting with his father Nimrod before he'd actually encountered Hashem directly. וכן החסם סויף הכויסף כי עצם מלחמוסו של אברהם אבינו באויב די הפסילים הישה אסור עליו שהוא נחשב כמעבד עצמו לדעס וחסם סויף הפסקן זה what אברהם אבינו did and Noach himself had this machlokes we'll see now that what אברהם אבינו did by the Kibshanesh was awesome he committed suicide you're not going to commit suicide How did I really know that you'll rather than be over the Vodazor, you have to give your life. How did he know that? Vamna Mishum Kach Noach Tzadik lo lechembe. That's why Noach Tzadik didn't go fight them. Why did Noach Tzadik get up and fight them? Because it was also to give up your life for that. Ulam Avram Avinu ayo onus oides inyan ze ulo ayo eichel izboles hashekem yoytzeli milchoma. Avram says, you're right. It was awesome. What can I do? I'm an honest. Honest Rachmana Potra. Honest. It could be by the Chashmonim. I don't know. You have to learn this. One second. Could be by the Chashmonim. There was the same thing. Could be that they weren't allowed to do that either. And yet they were honest. I can't anymore. I can't. Honest Rachmana Potra. Give up your life. Because that, I can't anymore. אני לא יכול לסבול את השקע. I can't tolerate the shaker anymore. זה שתי תחס מסויפה. פלט תחס מסויפה.
Why do you call that suicide?
You could have kissed the cross and gone home to your wife and children. Who gave you the right to die?
You didn't kill yourself.
You did something that brought that massacred your life and brought death to yourself. You know how to do that. Without the Torah telling you that you're allowed to do that? Where did you come to do that? They had a mitzvah that they had to live. You weren't allowed to commit suicide.
The other person.
He's a murderer, the sinner, but you brought yourself to the point. That's called
it seems like it's different.
If you walk in front of a bus, right? The driver was the guy who killed you, but that's called suicide.
That's different. If somebody gives me a gun and says, you know, you got to shoot this person or I'm going to kill you, it doesn't give me the right to shoot that other person.
We're not talking about the guy who pulled the trigger.
Once again.
That's only because you know the dinim, you know the halachas. One second. You wouldn't, but the Chasam Sofer does. I'm asking this. I'm just trying to understand this. If I would come along to you and say, please will you cook me supper on Shabbos, or I'm going to kill you. What's the halacha? You go and cook supper. Unless I'm doing it lachis. But I want it for myself. I'm not trying to get you to b'chal Shabbos. I want supper, so you have to. What would be if you would say, no, I'm not going to do that. If you want to kill me, kill me. I'm not cooking you supper. That would be considered suicide?
Yes.
100%! 100%! You killed yourself. You made a choice as well. You know
that. Making a choice.
You made a choice to put yourself in front of this guy's bullet. We're not talking about small. We're asking halachically. Is that called committing suicide? According to the Torah, that's 100% ma'abed al das. 100%. You know why? Because you were supposed to cook supper. And you never cooked supper and makan the mitzvah of a chai behem. He shot you. You are 100% responsible. He's got his dinim as well. He's not going to get off by saying, I didn't do anything. He committed suicide. He's over murder, 100%. Not saying not. But me, the guy that I was supposed to do what the Torah says to me, I was supposed to make the supper. I was supposed to eat the chaz. I was supposed to do whatever else. I'm not talking about peshasa shmad. But in normal peace times, the guy's not doing it because he wants to be like the Torah. He's doing it because he's hungry and he wants you to make him supper. In such a situation, if you don't make him the supper and he kills you, that the Torah says is you chai for that. You're ma'abed al das. That's called being ma'abed al small das. That's what Avraham Avinu did. Who told Avraham Avinu not to go along with Nimrod and they would have sent you home? Well, what are you getting thrown to Kibshanesh for? Why are you sticking your head into a hornet's nest? Who asked you to do that? And we don't see, by the way, that Noach was punished because he held the other shitter. He never became Avram Avinu. He stayed Noach Tzadik, he stayed a goy. But we don't see that he was ever taken to Kosovo. It was over in Issa.
You would say that there would be a demarcation point between making a stupid decision and not so stupid.
I don't think it's going to be stupid.
Like if a person was to walk across the street and not look both ways.
He's killed himself. That's called suicide, of course. You're not going to put yourself into a sakana. And if you do, you chai for that, of course. Of course. The kud I'm saying is the fact that not if it would have been a mitzvah to do what Avraham Avinu did, like it is today, then Noach Tzadik could have been taken to task because he never did. No one took Noach Tzadik to task because he never did. He was a tzadik. Don't give a moshel. No, it's too late for the moshel. All right, Tzimtzum Hashem, tomorrow we'll give a moshel, make this a bit clearer. That could be Marbid Al Das. It might be considered Bittel Taylor, which could be worse than suicide.
And somebody pretty soon might come and shut the czar, or is it ready?